Good to see everybody out again this evening. Always a great encouragement to come here and gather together if you had the opportunity to do so. We gather together, of course, according to His commandment, as we read in Acts 20, verse 7, they gathered upon the first day of the week. We take that example and gather together upon every first day of the week. And remember to the Lord's Supper, and as we gather together, of course, we keep the other commandments that go along in commands that we are to do with one another. But each time we gather together, at least every time that I have the opportunity and I am up here, at the end of each lesson, we extend the Lord's invitation. We invite any who had the desire, any who desire to come forward to be baptized into Christ, or if any who desire to come forward and to ask for the prayers of the congregation, or to let it be known that they've repented of sins and they're trying to overcome temptation, whatever it is to be. And I kind of want to talk about that this morning, and the title is Come Unto Me, and taking that out of Matthew 11, verse 28. Matthew 11 and verse 28, Jesus speaking here, and He says, Come to Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy, and My burden is light. We're going to talk about the invitation in itself. That fact that it is, come unto Me. And this is going to be my first point of looking at this point here in Matthew 11, verse 28, is whose invitation is it? When we extend the invitation at the end of the lesson, and we invite any who desire to come forward, whose invitation is being extended? As we have just read, this is Jesus speaking. Jesus is the one that is saying, come to Me. Come to Jesus. He is the one that is calling for you to come to. He is the one that is extending His hand to give you rest. He is the one that is saying, take My yoke upon you. Lean on our Lord and Savior. This is Jesus' invitation. Understand, as we go forward and we take the example as Paul, and Paul's preaching as he went forth and preached, and he would say, do what I have commanded you to do, keep the commandments I taught you, or, you know, following in what he's doing. And the mindset that he is, of course, following in Christ's footsteps, doing as Christ has commanded. And all of that, though, Paul is still saying, keep the commandments of Christ. Because Paul also made mention, you know, if I come to you, or if an angel comes to you, if anyone comes to you and teaches you anything different, don't listen to them. Don't listen to me. Simply listen to the words that our Lord and Savior has given us. We turn to John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, and here, reading about the hope that we have of the life after this upon this earth. Who extends that hope? Who's the one that has prepared a home for us? And it's Jesus. Jesus, once again, speaking here. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So Jesus, once again, He's the one that's saying, I'm preparing a place for you. I'm going to leave and prepare a place for you. And once again, He says, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come and receive you. We can open up and we can do a good scripture study of what we can see is going to take place at the end of time. And Jesus will appear in the air with His angels that will come down. It says Jesus is the one that's coming. And once again, it is Jesus who's extending this invitation. We are extending His invitation. His invitation. What we talked about this morning, we read in Ephesians chapter 4, and we talked about husband and wife, but it also talked about in those verses the mindset to be like the church in our Lord and Savior. But the thing is Jesus is the head of the church. This is His church. This is His kingdom. He's the one that said, I will build my church. It's His invitation. It's the Lord's invitation that we're invited. We're not inviting you to join Brandon Hathaway's club. We're not inviting you to join the club. This is the invitation to keep the Lord's commandments. We're simply extending what He's already blessed us with. Extending the opportunity to do the same thing that we have done and choosing to obey our Lord and Savior. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light as He is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Once again, it brings out the point, who's the one that has died for us? Whose blood is it that washes away our sins? It's our Lord and Savior. It's Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior's blood that washes away our sins. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 3, talking about when we are baptized, when we are buried in the water, we are being buried with Christ. Once again, to that extent, who died for us? Who was buried? Who raised from the dead? It was Jesus, our Lord and Savior. This is His invitation that we extend as we gather together. Extending the opportunity to keep His commandments. In Galatians chapter 3, in verse 27, Galatians chapter 3, and in verse 27, as it reads here, it says, for as many as you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Once again, on the mind point of when we are baptized, we reach the blood of Christ. That is what washes away your sins. And when we are buried like Christ was buried. And when we raised up from the water, it's like when Jesus was resurrected from the dead. And here it's saying, we put on Christ. We put on our Lord and Savior. Remember, it can only be His invitation. If someone is inviting you, extending the invitation to something different, it is not the true faith that is taught in the Word of God. In fact, it'd be going down the line in 1 Corinthians 1, as Paul was telling them, you know, is Christ divided? As they were going forth and saying, I'm of Apollos and I'm of Cephas, he says, is Christ divided? Did I die for you? Was I resurrected for you? Did I come down from heaven and become lower? No. Only our Lord and Savior had done these things. We need to realize whose invitation it is that we're extending as we gather together. As we come and we extend that invitation, it is the Lord's invitation. Next one I want to bring out is, what is the invitation? What exactly are we extending? What opportunity is at the door when we extend the Lord's invitation? One point to bring out is forgiveness. In Acts chapter 13, if you turn along with me there. In Acts chapter 13, and reading in verse 38, Acts 13, starting in verse 38, it says, therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man, speaking of Christ, through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, our Lord and Savior, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. So verse 38, it makes it clear. It says, preach to you for forgiveness of sins. Preach to you the forgiveness of sins. Through who? Through Christ. As they go forth and they teach, as they go forth and they preach, and they tell them about what Jesus has done, it's not just to say how great this guy is, but why this guy did these things, so that you can be saved. So that your sins can be forgiven. It says, this couldn't be done under the law of Moses. Once again, we could do a big study and all that they had done under the law, all the sacrifices that they had made, but not one of those sacrifices, not all of those sacrifices would truly clear their sins. Only
this world. That's what we're extending. That's the opportunity that we're extending when we get to the close of the lesson tonight. Is to have your sins forgiven through the blood of our Lord and Savior. We're extending that opportunity. In Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 20. Ephesians 4 and in verse 20. It says, but you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and being renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. We're extending the opportunity for a new start, an opportunity for a second chance. It says, here is the opportunity. You can look back in your past. You can examine it and say, look, I've done some bad things. You can say, I know that I have sinned. You look back and just keep on going forward. But guess what? When you choose to obey the commandments of God, to be baptized into Christ, those sins will be washed away. When you are buried in the water, you are putting to death the person of sin. And you are being resurrected a new man. You being a resurrected, a Christian, a follower of Christ. Another opportunity. A second chance is what we're extending at the end of the lesson. And as you arrive at understanding in Romans 8, verse 15. Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. It says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. This is another part of the invitation of worship. The part of being added to the Lord's family. Becoming a child of God. Being able to go in prayer calling our God our Father. Being joint heirs in Christ. What we're extending the invitation. That is what the Lord has done for us. He's given us the opportunity for forgiveness, for a second chance, to be part of His family. You read there in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, when around 3,000 souls had been baptized that day, and you read at the very end of that chapter, and in verse 47, and it says, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Added to His kingdom, added to His family, those who were being baptized, those who were being saved. That's what we're extending the opportunity. It's the true opportunity to be part of God's family. So many today have the mindset that yes, we are all God's creation. I'm not denying that. And God does love us all. We can go to John 3:16 and see that. But if you are truly His child, then you are going to keep His commandments. Then you are going to obey what He has told you to do. And in doing so, you will truly become a child of God. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, as we've read already, Jesus extends the opportunity for rest. And I take that in a couple different ways. It's not saying that necessarily you're going to get to quit your job and you get to rest all day. But the fact that you've been stressed out knowing that you've done wrong, knowing that you've had sin in your life, knowing that these things need to be taken care of, when you turn to Christ, He washes away those sins. You go from crimson red to being white as snow. Having your sins forgiven, not having to worry about them any longer. Knowing that He will keep that promise and wash away your sins and forgive you. Having rest, knowing what comes at the end of life, not having to worry about dying because you know that there's a home in heaven. We can have rest in our soul. And of course, as we talked about in John chapter 14, I go prepare a place for you. We read Revelation 21 and see about what heaven might be look like. wonderful thoughts. To spend eternity with our Father. To spend a lifetime with our Lord and Savior. This is the invitation. We're extending the opportunity. You know, get up here and someone might be saying, I might be trying to sound like a sales pitch, but you're trying to get you to buy in. And you need to buy into this. You need to read the Word of God and see what He extends. What opportunity He's willing to give to you. I don't plan on tonight going into what it is needed from you to obey, to receive all these things, all the blessings He's promised to those who keep His commandments. But this is the invitation that our Lord is giving to you. And understand, that's the next one I want to look at, is who is being invited? Who are we talking to at the end of the lesson? Who has the opportunity to come forward? In Mark chapter 2 and verse 17. Mark chapter 2 and verse 17. And when Jesus heard it, He said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Jesus says He's come for those who are doing wrong. For those who need to turn from their sin. Those who have sinned that need to be forgiven. That's everybody. Everybody at one point or another needed this invitation. Needed the opportunity to say, "Come unto me, and I will make things better. I will wash away your sins. I will be your strength. I will guide you in the right direction. Just lean on me and follow in my direction." We all need it. At least at one point or another, we need an invitation to send it unto us. Because we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 there. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Each and every one of us has fallen short. Each and every one of us needed to be invited to come to Christ to have his sins forgiven. Needed his sacrifice for us. In 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. You read starting with me in verse 3. It says, "For this is the good and acceptable in sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Here it says, He desires all. Who? All men to be saved. Everyone. Again, you can see the same point in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering." Why is He long-suffering? Because He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, this is the thing. He just says, because He doesn't want anyone to be punished, because he wants all to be saved, that's going to happen. But He is patient, giving us today, giving us another opportunity to have our sins forgiven, to finally go, "I need to come to Christ. I need His forgiveness. I need to be baptized. Because if I don't make it home tonight, my sins aren't washed away. I need to come forward and ask for forgiveness, because if I don't, I know I still have sin in my life." This is the opportunity He's extended to us. That's the invitation that we have every day if we open up this book. This isn't just something that we have on Sundays and Wednesdays. But any time that it comes to your heart, whether it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, if that's the time you feel that you know in your heart you need to obey the gospel, that you need to go to God in prayer and ask for forgiveness, that's the time you need to take care of. That's when you need to take care of. Once again, you look at the command that He had given to His apostles in Matthew 28 and verse 19, to go and make disciples of all nations. This invitation is to all. All have sinned. All need for forgiveness.
Not just those who have been baptized, but we extend the invitation for those who have been baptized also. Extending the opportunity for those who have maybe been withdrawn from, or who have sinned and need to come forward and let it be known to their brethren that they put that sin behind them, that they've chosen to repent, that they sought forgiveness of God, and they need our prayers to give the strength to continue on that repentance. As it reads here in Matthew 18, verse 15, it says, "Moreover, if a brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear you, take you with you two or more by the mouth of two and three witnesses. Every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen to the castle." But if he does hear, whether it's the first step, whether it's the second step, the third step, or whether it's after you've withdrawn from them, and they need to come, this is an opportunity. And once again, they don't have to do it on Sunday night or Sunday morning, but this is an opportunity. We're extending that invitation today, right now. Let it be known that they want to make their lives right with God. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4. "To any who have fallen from the grace of God." Galatians 5 and then verse 4. As it reads, "You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by the law. You have fallen from grace." Understand that? That's possible. Today, the world, a lot of the world likes to teach, once saved, always saved. Once you've obeyed, once you've accepted God into your heart, you can't do anything wrong. And you can't fall from His grace. And here it says, you have fallen from grace. It can happen. It does take place. We've seen it in Acts. In Acts chapter 8 with Philip and Simon the Sorcerer. And then the apostles, I believe it was Peter and John that they end up coming down to pass on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And he ends up following them and he offers them money so that he can have the gifts that they have. And they tell him, "You need to pray to God and repent." Repent and pray to God that your heart might be forgiven. He had fallen shortly after being baptized. You have the opportunity to repent of your sins today. You have the opportunity to ask for forgiveness tonight. We're extending that invitation. In James chapter 5 and verse 16, and it's not always that you've already sinned. Maybe the sin hasn't taken place, but you know that temptation is at the door. You know that you've been struggling and it's been hitting you. You just need the prayers of the congregation. In James 5 and verse 16 says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man." You can go back a few verses in verse 13. "If anyone's sick, let him call on the elders and they'll pray among you." Pray. We need to pray with one another. We need to let each other know if we can help. So we extend the invitation every time we get the opportunity. The invitation to any who have yet to be baptized into Christ, have yet to been added to His family. If you know the truth, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, I want to extend the invitation right now. To come forward. There is water in the baptism waiting for one who desires to obey the gospel, to have their sins forgiven, to be right in the sight of God, to be called a child of God. And if you have obeyed Him, and you are a child of God, but you know that you've failed. You know that you've fallen back into sin. Or you know that temptation is right there waiting for you. And you just want some strength. You want some help from your brother. If there's anything that we can do for you, let it be known. If you stand.
Yeah. Lord's Supper has been prepared again this evening for those Christians who did not have the opportunity to take it this morning. Will they stand or raise your hand this time and glad to serve you? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come for you now. Thank you for this bread which represents your Son's body that was broken on the cross and the rest of mercy. Bless this time and keep it with one that's taking a bit. In Christ's name we pray. Heaven, it's time to come again, approaching you in this for the remission of our sins. The one that is getting ready to take this cup that resembles your Son's blood shed on our cross. Christ in the cross. The Lord's Supper, December 4th, we have the opportunity to lay by the store.